This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in 1 Timothy with one mediator, I do not permit a woman to teach, on bishops, on deacons, and mystery of godliness. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the
reading from John chapter 8.
They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them,
"If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. It does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
It is hard not to have a little bit of sympathy for the Jews in our text for this morning. I mean, they're arguing with Jesus, but they're not completely wrong. I mean, earlier in the passage, if you go a little further back in John chapter 8, they insist that they are children of Abraham and they have never been slaves of anyone. Which is true, technically. I mean, sure, the people of Israel were time and again carried off into slavery, but that was their ancestors. And sure, they live under Roman occupation and have to ask permission for most everything they would seek to do, but they're not slaves, technically. And when that falls apart, they fall back to the argument, well, we are children of Abraham. And, well, technically. They're descended from the line of Abraham. Technically true. They are children of God. They try. And at least they believe that to be true. But they miss the point. If they were really children of Abraham, they would not be seeking to murder the promised seed of Abraham. If they were really children of God, they would not be seeking to kill the Son of God. Jesus even goes so far as to call them children of Satan. 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel were so concerned with their own wisdom, their own egos, their own understanding, with being right, that they missed the Son of God standing in front of them. They were so certain of their understanding of God, they overlooked God himself. By the end of the chapter, they are so certain in their own righteousness that they pick up stones to kill Jesus. They would rather commit murder than set aside their own pride. It's a good thing that kind of attitude isn't around today. You know, we all kind of come here for the same reasons. We might come from different places, backgrounds, stages of life, stations in life. We're all here for the same purpose. We all come here because we know that apart from the cross of Christ, there is no hope. We all come here because we've been confronted with our own sin, and we know that in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we are redeemed and forgiven and set free. And we believe with all of our being that there is no other hope, that there is no other path, there is no other way, no truth, no life, that the only hope for a broken and dying world comes in the cross of Christ and in his great love for us. But one of the things that can happen over the course of our time here is we start to maybe understand a little too much. We start to lose sight of that. And instead, we begin to understand, begin to think of God, begin to shrink God, perhaps, into something that can be systematized, understood, maybe even controlled. And that's far too small. I'm often reminded of that wonderful moment in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Leave it to children's books to teach us truth, right? Where the children have gone into Narnia for the first time, and three of them find themselves in the house of Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, and they've heard that Aslan is roaming the land. In fact, he's coming there. And the children are worried, and Susan speaks for all of them and says, well, is he quite safe? And the beavers laugh. Mr. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. We do not serve a safe God, but we serve a good one. The Lion of Judah is by no means a tame lion. He is powerful and righteous and holy beyond all of our understanding and imagination, and there's a certain comfort in that. If he were small enough for me to understand, then he would be small enough for me to have imagined. If he had only my wisdom, then he could not have spoken the great mystery of creation into being. If he had only what I imagine to be strong, he would not be powerful enough to save. To create us, to redeem us, to save us, he must be. He is beyond us. And yet he calls us here. And yet he gathers us here in this place, and he teaches us with his word, and he feeds us on his body and blood. And over again, sends us out to proclaim his truth to a world that so desperately loves its comfortable lives. It's not a safe work we seek to do. The Jews picked up stones to try to kill him. And while we know they wouldn't succeed this time, we know that story continues all the way to the cross. But that same wild and good and powerful God fights for us today as well. And spoiler alert, we win. Not because of our weakness, but because of his strength. Not our foolishness, but his wisdom. Not our illusions, but his truth. Just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, Rise to Arms with Prayer Employ You. And this whole thing is filled with this incredible imagery that our fathers have handed to us of the battle in which we find ourselves and the God who stands beside us. But this morning I was particularly struck by verse 2. Cast afar this world's vain pleasure and boldly strive for heavenly treasure. Be steadfast in the Savior's might. Trust the Lord who stands beside you, for Jesus from all harm will hide you. By faith you conquer in the fight. Take courage, weary soul. Look forward to the goal. Joy awaits you, the race well run, your long war won. Your crown shines splendid as the sun. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.
In our prayers, we remember the family of the Reverend Jacob Kaczynski, who died recently in a bus accident. He was a 2019 graduate of our seminary's training program in Tanzania. I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with your Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness.
O God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful, and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you promise us that nothing shall separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Comfort the members of this family and all who mourn the sudden death of Jacob. Grant that we may ever be prepared for your final summons when we will depart and be with Christ in blessedness and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son.
Us,
defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.